Get ready for the Daily Faceoff Live free agency special coming to you on July 1st, live from 11 a.m. Eastern until 2 p.m. Join me, Tyler Remchuk, along with former NHLers Colby Cohen and Carter Hutton, our NHL insider Frank Saravalli, and all of our friends from all across the league for 3 hours of nonstop action as we deep dive into the madness of NHL free agency. We'll be breaking down every trade and signing, discussing the impact on teams, and giving you the inside scoop on all the wheeling and dealing happening around the league. Catch all the action live on July 1st from 11 a.m. Eastern until 2 p.m. It's the Daily Faceoff Live free agency special. You won't want to miss it.
Morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. Thanks for being here. I'm very excited today, Tim. We're getting close to the draft, free agency. Season's over. We can move on from that incredible series. Isn't it fun? We still got stuff to talk about, even though the season's over.
Yeah, the rare Thursday episode. Yeah, it's crazy because I made the notes and the agenda for this one about an hour and a half ago. And in that time, like, so many reports have come out about Ryan Suter's contract being bought out. Claude Julien is on the Blues coaching staff now, and your boy Steve Ott got promoted to associate coach or something. And then Ken Holland announced that he's already told the Oilers that he's not going to come back to their team. So this news is breaking just so quickly this time of year, and there's a lot to talk about.
A lot to talk about. But before we get into that, Tim, this episode is brought to you by Bet365, proud partner of Dropping the Gloves. You should open an account today and bet on a huge range of markets. So whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Use code HOCKEYCA to let them know that we sent you and you support our show. We would really appreciate it. All right, let's get into it. The big news. Well, I guess there's a lot of big news. This is all pretty big news hockey-wise, but the first domino dropped approaching the draft and free agency teams trying to align themselves. How much money do we have? Who can we get? Who can we not get? What's going on? Well, the Buffalo Sabres have had enough with Jeff Skinner. They said enough is enough. We need this contract gone. He was set to make $9 million for the next 3 years. And he hasn't underperformed per se. He's been okay in Buffalo. You know, he had 24 goals last year, only 46 points. The year before, he had 35 goals, 82 points. So a little bit of a drop. I would say a pretty big drop, almost half. But not terrible, all things considered, how bad the Buffalo Sabres were this year. 24 goals could have been worse. They've had enough. They want to revamp this team. They have bought out Jeff Skinner. What ramifications does this have for the Buffalo Sabres, Tim?
Well, obviously, there's always a cap penalty when you have a buyout like that, especially a big one. You know, this was a huge contract when this was first signed, and it was just so blatantly overpaid for most of those 3, 4, 5 years, whatever, at the beginning, where he wasn't producing, the Sabres weren't winning, and he was a big part of that because he was taking up so much of their cap. As the team has gotten better and brought in more talent, I say better is a weird word to describe the situation because they're statistically in the standings, they haven't been better, but they are a better team with talent. And he's produced more in the last couple of years. So this did surprise me a little bit. In terms of the cap situation, it's going to fluctuate from, I think, 1.4 against the cap this next season. Then it jumps up to 2.4, then like 4.4, and then flattens back down again. So over the next 6 years, it's going to cost them almost $20 million. Against the cap, but it's spread out over a bunch of years, and so they are saving more than half of what he was making. Opens up a whole bunch of money and possibilities for them to go out and make some moves.
Yeah, I think this was much needed. You can't just keep rolling out the same guys, especially how last year they had such potential. Everybody was excited to watch the Buffalo Sabres. This is their year. They're going to end the drought. I don't know what it is at now. It's 14, 15 years since they've made the playoffs, so it's a long one. It's the longest one in professional sports, I believe. And this was the year they were going to get that monkey off the back, and they just couldn't do it. So what do? You have all the same guys, all the same cast of characters, Thompson, Cousins, Tuck. Skinner makes the most money of anybody up front. You're not going to get rid of Dahlin or Power or Bowen Byram. You just picked him up. So you have to make some changes, and it starts with Jeff Skinner, unfortunately. So he's gone. It frees up some cap space. Now they have a little bit more wiggle room without that release. They might have had $20 million, but they have a bunch of UFAs. They got some RFAs they got to deal with. So now that gives them a little more room. And They have to do something. They have no goalies signed. Their back end needs some work, even though they have those high-end guys. Their bottom, I would say bottom 6 to 8 needs a lot of work. So, you know, Kevin Adams, he has some money to spend now. He only has his own draft picks. He didn't really do much at the deadline to acquire draft picks. What once was, Tim, a promising future for this team, all of a sudden, red flags everywhere. You know, it's funny how fast and quick it happens. 1 year ago, we were all clamoring, Detroit, Ottawa, Buffalo, the future of the NHL. The Atlantic Division is just going to be overhauled. The Leafs are done. The Bruins are done. Look out. No, same old, same old. Because what do the Bruins or the Sabres have to look forward to now? What is Tage Thompson going to do? Is he going to bounce back from a relatively down season where the year before that he went from scoring 47 goals, 47 assists? Everybody thought, this is it. This is his breakout season. 29 goals last year, 27 assists, roughly half of what he got the year before. And that went across the board for every Buffalo Sabres player. So is this enough, Tim? That's my question. Is this enough to get these guys over the hump and to jumpstart this team? Because I don't know.
Well, it depends on what they do with the cap space, right? That's the big question. It's like, what comes next? This is just the first move of many they'll make this offseason. They've been linked to some of the big names in free agency and trade market, like Nietzsche's and Gensel and some of those guys. It depends on what's next. But I think it also sends a message to the rest of the core, the rest of this team, like, no one's untouchable. And if you think, like, we're going to keep floundering like this and underperforming, you might be next. I'm looking at Tage Thompson. Like, if you're scoring 27 goals, 25, 30, like whatever it is, and not the 47 that you were at when we signed you to this extension, you could be next. You know, we don't have the patience. Like, the window is, how do you define their window? Is it open? Is it starting? Is it closing? It's a weird team in a weird situation, but they do have the young stars that a lot of teams would covet and dream about having on the back end and the front end. So what they do with the rest of the space and that free agency money they have is really going to be the indicator of where this goes.
Yeah, and the type of team they want to be, because you can't pay the money they have to pay on the back end, because Yokoharu is going to be wanting some money too. Like, they have a lot of money tied up on the back end. I don't know what Matias Samuelsson's status is. He's on the IR, but I'm assuming he'll be back for camp. So if you give Yokoharu a decent contract, you're looking at, you know, $35, $40 million on the back end. So you have to lean into that. You got to play maybe a more defensive style of game. I don't know. It's just you need to figure out what type of team you are. I don't think the Sabres have an identity. Are they a checking team? Are they a skill team? Are they a grinded out team? Who are you? How do you want to play the game?
Well, it's also worth noting that they just brought Lindy Ruff back, right? And so yeah, you have to imagine he was part of these conversations to buy out Jeff Skinner, who's not the decision maker, but I'm sure he was in the room. What team, like, what identity is he going to bring? Can he bring that toughness? Can he bring the defensive schemes back? And I'm sure that he's got his eyes on a few players around on the market that he wants to bring and say, hey, this is who I want that's going to help us define what it is to play Buffalo Sabres hockey.
Yeah, and I played for Lindy. I know the type of game he likes to play. It's more conservative. So it's not a run and gun. It's not let's try to win this 5-4. It's a conservative style of game where you take advantage where you can, you have a good power play, and you hope to beat him maybe 3-1. That's the type of game that he likes to play. So, and he likes physical players. So I hope he challenges Tage Thompson to use his size more, be a little more physical, get active in the game that way. But I really don't know what to think of the Buffalo Sabres. You know, I thought they would get Linus Allmark. They've been playing for a lot of goaltenders. They haven't had anybody. And then at the end of the day, you talk about all these UFAs, these guys. Listen, I love Buffalo. Who wants to go play in Buffalo? The facilities are top-notch, world-class. Love the city. I enjoy Buffalo. If I have the option between a Dallas or a Nashville or a Florida or a Tampa or a Chicago or a New York or a LA or a San Jose or a Utah or a Seattle or a any other city. You're maybe probably going to pick those cities. No, not Winnipeg. But and that's just the nature of the beast. You have to be honest with yourself. So you have to do a good job of selling what it means to be a Buffalo Sabre and why you should sign here. Like, just say Jake Gensel, premier goal scorer. He couldn't get $8 to $9 million wherever he goes, maybe 7 to 9. Why pick Buffalo over a Pittsburgh or a Colorado or wherever it may be? So you have to really sell him on, oh, you're with Tage Thompson, Dylan Cousins, Alex Tuck. Look at these young defensemen who are just starting to come on their own in the NHL. Rasmus Dahlin will be a Norris Trophy winner. Owen Power, a stud back there, a young Victor Hedman. That's where you have to lean into because, gosh, you can't go on your success because there's none there.
And look at like the players that have come out of their system that have gone on to win the cup with any team, with other teams. Yeah. Eichel, O'Reilly, Bogosian, Rodriguez, Kulikov, Montour, Reinhardt. Like the list goes on and on. Yeah. So it's got to be frustrating. So guys play their best hockey after they leave. So hopefully I want to root for this team. I want them to be good. I want them to take a step forward. There's a lot of likable talent on this team. So I hope that this Skinner buyout is the beginning of a series of moves that puts them back on the map.
So where do you see Skinner going? Because he's still a decent player. It's you think of him as this old, crusty guy, but he's only 32. You know, yeah. You can lock him in pretty much for 25 goals. He would be a decent second-line guy to have. Never played the playoffs, which is shocking. Well, so where's a good spot for him?
So he's going to be making, I think, the number, 2.4 from the Sabres over the next 6 years. So that takes some of the relief away to like, if his goal was to make $5 million a year, he's already halfway there, right? So another team can sign him for less because he knows he's getting more money, which makes him a pretty valuable piece. And I think he's going to be a coveted piece, not to mention the talent that he gets. So for a team that maybe doesn't have a ton of cap space but wants to bring in a top six winger, or a team that thinks that they're a piece or two from like Pittsburgh, for example, like they want that type of player, then Skinner is the type of kid who could probably just mesh with Crosby and go back to being a 35-goal scorer if everything was right. So I wonder if a team like that would take a shot at him.
I wouldn't be surprised if he goes to Florida.
Yeah.
Florida's got a ton of players and money coming off their books, and everybody overpays for the Stanley Cup champion. So guys like Reinhardt and Lorenz and Lomberg and Cousins and Lundell, they are going to get a hefty, hefty raise. And like you said, he can go for a discount and an even bigger discount if you take into account the no state tax in Florida. So if he signs on for $2 million, that's like $3 million. That's a bargain for a guy of his caliber. So it would, and he wants to win. I think that'll be his number one drive going into the UFA free agency. He cannot sign with a team that he knows they're not going to have success, right?
He's 32. His career earnings are $76 million. Like he's doing fine. Yeah, I think he wants the ring. He wants a shot, even to make the playoffs. So him. Yeah, he's fine.
He has never played a playoff game. Correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like he's gone zero. Like he started in 2010-11 with the Carolina Hurricanes. He has zero playoff games.
Zero.
He's played 1,000 regular season games. Tim, I've played in the playoffs.
Yeah,
I'm better than Jeff Skinner. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
I went to the Eastern Conference Finals. Did Jeff Skinner
get any playoff points?
I got a playoff bonus.
Okay, sure.
So I don't know what's better, the bonus or the points.
Show me the money.
That's right. So I don't know. It's actually, he's probably a little happy to see that because now he's going to go win a cup. This just came across the wire. I don't know how I feel about this. Resident dirtbag Liam O'Brien has just signed an extension with Utah Hockey Club for 3 years at $1 million per. No clue why they would sign that jackwagon to that contract. But anyways, good for Utah.
I got so many tweets and messages about this saying they wanted to hear your take on it and your comment on the signing. So I'm glad we got that.
How does that negotiation go? My player's tough. Oh, has he won a fight? Never wins a fight. No. Does he get many points? Couple. Does he hit a lot? Not really. So what? We want $1 million per. Okay. Sounds good. It just boggles my mind. He never wins a fight, Tim. Ever. Yeah. Go to hockeyfights.com. Never landslide win for Liam O'Brien. It's all show, not a lot of go. He gets beat up all the time. And this is where I think the look comes into play. If he doesn't have the big beard, if he doesn't have the long hair, he goes away. But he's very marketable. You could put him up there. People love that. Zach Sortini really leaned into that too when I was playing. Zach Sortini was a terrible hockey player. But he did his job well, and he had that look. His hair would go flying everywhere, and everybody loved it. He's the only guy I've jumped ever in my life. You go watch my fight with Zach Stortini. My gloves are off 5 to 10 feet before I even came in contact with him. I really hated him because he would never fight me. He would never square up. I'm like, here's my chance. I'm jumping him. I'm doing it. It was I was in Chicago. He was in Edmonton. And I was just like, screw this guy. Because he would always say no. So frustrating. So I had to take matters in my own hands, dude. Sue me. So sue me. All right. You want a chicken update? I just thought of it.
Ooh, yeah. Let's hear it.
So do you know how my mother-in-law took a chicken home? The dead one? She put it in her freezer.
What? What's wrong? Just bury the thing or burn it. Well, trash it.
I keep telling her, put it in the dumpster. And she's like, it deserves a burial. And I go, why? Why? Well, because it's, you know, it's a creature. And, you know, God made everybody. We should bury it. And you guys, you know, you got eggs from this chicken. You can't treat it like that and put it in the garbage. And I keep telling her, well, if you want to bury it, bury it. Because I said, Sue, if I'm getting it, it's going right in your dumpster. Like, it's not getting to the end of the driveway. It's going in your dumpster. So we're at a stalemate. It's in her freezer, Tim.
So what is she waiting for? Like a free afternoon to?
No idea. No, she. I don't know.
If does this she is want one you of to those, bury it?
Yes, that's what it is.
Yeah,
I ain't burying it. It's crazy. Yeah. Like, imagine if they had company. Let's get some ice cream. No! Don't go in there.
So weird. So weird.
Sue, what's that? Oh, funny story, you guys. 2 weeks ago, I found this chicken in my son-in-law's coop, and I threw it in my freezer. Gonna make some bone broth out of it. It's so bad.
Gross. Is it in, like, did she have at least, like, one of those, like, garage freezers? Or is it in her kitchen?
No, it's in a chest freezer, which has all the good meat, because my father-in-law does sausage, and it's like he keeps the bread in there. So it's not like it's just... It's so bad. Oh, weird. It just came to my attention. I don't know why. That woman makes me laugh. All right, what else are we talking about? There were some trades that went down, Tim. Let's go over those.
Yeah, the first one yesterday, the Red Wings sent Jake Walman and a 2024 second round pick to San Jose for nothing. Future considerations.
Imagine if you're Walman. You get a call from the GM. It's Stevie Y. He's like, We traded you. I'm sorry. We had to make some moves. You know, you make 3.4 for the next 2 years. We're trying to make some moves. It's like, okay, well, you know, what'd you get? Oh, no, Jake, I don't know how to say this. We had to give them you and a second round pick. For who, though? Nobody. I'm sorry, Jake. I had to package you with a second round pick just to get rid of you. That's how bad. We don't want you on our team. Like, you can get a pretty good player for a second rounder. Like, you can. And so, or Jake Walman. That's a tough one. You can't come back from that. Like, that's one that's going to live with you forever. But he makes 3.4. He's going to San Jose.
Yeah, and it's clearly a salary dump. So, who knows? This surprised me because I like him as a player. Like, when you watch him, you're like, man, he's a good skater. And he'll have an overtime goal And you think he's better than, but you look at his stats and he averages like 20 points a year in a good season. So it's strange that, I don't know, that didn't really make sense. But so now the Red Wings cleared $3.4 million to use for TBD. Who knows? They have $32 million in cap, but only about half their team is under contract. A lot of expiring contracts. Some we know won't come back, like Patrick Kane. Some might, like David Perron. So I was reading an article about it and it was like, okay, they need to upgrade their goalie. They're looking at John Gibson, some other names. They need to upgrade their defense, possibly Truba, possibly Slavin, Chychrun. And also they're in on Gensel and Nietzsche. So they just need every position. And they have a lot of money, but like I said, a lot of contracts that they got to figure out.
So Jake Walman gets this call from Stevie Y. And he goes, I make the same as Justin Hall. The same term too. So you're choosing Justin Hall over me? That's crazy. We have Ben Sherrod on our team. He makes almost five. And you're choosing that guy over me? We have Jeff Petrie on our team. They just stockpiling big, slow defensemen. It's crazy. And now they want to get Jake Trouba? Oh, my goodness. Talk about Meathead Central on the back end.
But don't you think like no one wanted those other guys? And someone was like, yeah, Wallman, sure, we'll take him.
Oh my goodness, that's so funny. That guy's having a bad summer. Bad summer. And then you have to go to San Jose. Why get you get Cabrini, whatever it is, Celebrini?
Cabrini in warm weather. Yeah.
That'd be fun. San Jose's a beautiful city, but man, that's a tough blow. Who'd they get traded for? Nope. Like even I got traded for a fifth rounder. I remember when I got traded to the Rangers, Bowman called me. He's like, yeah, we got a fifth rounder for you. I'm like, not bad. Fifth rounder, not bad. Like, okay. I would have done that deal. That's okay.
Honest day's work. Yeah.
It's not nothing. I didn't have to get packaged with the second rounder to get rid of me. So I think that's very funny. Poor Jake Wallman. Let's get him on the show. All right. One other trade. Speaking of the Chicago Blackhawks, Ilya Makeyev and Sam Lafferty from the Vancouver Canucks. Has the trade gone through?
Yeah, it was reported from Frank.
He got traded to the Chicago Blackhawks for a fourth round pick. So pretty much nothing. Well, I got a lot. Fourth round is a lot. But yes, so the Canucks retained 15% of Makeyev's contract. They had to give up a second rounder to go to the Chicago Blackhawks, and they threw in Sam Lafferty, who was with the Hawks. If you correct me if I'm wrong, I think he was there a few years ago. He's a pending UFA, so pretty much nothing. They have a chance to negotiate with him for 4 days before he comes to UFA. So big deal on that one. But what do you think of this trade? A clear-cut salary dump for Vancouver.
Yeah, again, you know, they brought in Teddy Bluger, which we'll talk about next, but they kept him, and Mikhaev is a name that we kind of knew was going to be moved. He's been floating around a little bit. It doesn't sound like Lafferty was in their plans either, so they move him. And again, they have, like, is it Zadorov deal still in the works? What's his name? The Lindholm is probably gone, but they have a few other expiring contracts up front, so this is just giving them a few more options and a few more million bucks to play with.
Yeah, Makeyev, one of these guys, highly coveted from Russia, coming over in the KHL, played fairly well for his age. He was playing in, you know, the big league KHL. He was, what, 19, 18 years old. He put up decent points, just really hasn't done much in the NHL. Toronto brought him over. He had one good year there. Went to Vancouver, hasn't panned out whatsoever. And he's been getting a ton of opportunity playing with top guys, Tim. So, again, he'll get a little more ice time, but you're going from playing with Pettersson and Besser and Miller and all these guys, and you go to Chicago, you're playing with nobody. You'll play with Bedard, but that's it. There's nobody else there. Foligno? Like, there's no talent in Chicago right now, but it's early. They could bring some more people in, but I guess he is the talent he's bringing to Chicago, so I think it's a good trade for Chicago. Get some NHL players on that roster. All right, what else, Tim?
Yeah, the other extension I mentioned, Teddy Bluger, took a slight pay cut. He was making 1.9 last year. He signed a 2-year deal that makes 1.8 per to stay in Vancouver. I think a quality piece locked up. We know that third line was pretty good. So, yeah, good piece for them.
That does seem low, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. But I think he's a shutdown role player. You know what I mean? He's not putting up points. So,
let me ask you this. Where do you think Teddy Bluger's from?
Teddy Bluger. Ontario.
Latvia.
Oh. Didn't know.
No, neither did I. And he's not one of these guys who just, like, his parents moved to the States earlier. Like, he played Latvia U-17, U-18 team. I think that's incredible. Not many Latvians on the NHL ice. Zemis Gergensen comes to mind.
Probably more. I don't know.
Latvia. Yeah. Oh, I'm sure there's more. But yeah, strange. Maybe he doesn't know how to negotiate. Because I feel like after the last season, it was him and Garland and Dakota Joshua. They played fantastic. A little bit of leverage. I don't know, 1.9. If Dirtbag O'Brien gets one, you figure you're twice as good as him.
I bet he was basically just like, yeah, give me this name as last year. They said, yeah, great. A couple of days later, actually, we need to just give you $100,000 less. He's like, okay, fine. Whatever. You know.
That's where they get you. Nickel and dime you. I actually, I'm moving stuff around. I found my first professional contract, the physical hard copy of it. Very funny.
With Houston?
Yeah. $45,000 was my first contract. That's a lot of money.
Living.
That's a lot of money. All right, let's go. Let's dig into some rumors, Tim. We got through the hard concrete trades. What is the rumor mill saying?
There's a whole bunch here. So we know that the word is Anaheim is actively trying to trade John Gibson. He has a 10-team no-trade list. I mentioned already Detroit is one of those teams that's interested in them, but many others. And we know there's a few teams that want goalies, and there's not a lot of goalies left in the market. Markstrom's been moved, Allmark, who's a Caps goalie. So anyway, so yeah,
Kemper. Gibson could be moved.
Kemper, yeah. So Gibson could be on the move in the next couple of days as well.
Haven't we heard this? This is like another Chychrun thing where it's just like, oh, he's been on the market now for the last 4 years, it seems like. Yeah, and it just never happens. I don't know. He's a good goalie. I like John Gibson. He's been in Anaheim his whole career, been on a decent playoff run back in 16-17 when I was still kicking around the league, but
he should have left 3 years ago.
Years ago. He should have never re-signed that contract. But I guess if you're a goalie, you get a starting gig, you grab it because they're hard to come by. But he numbers slipped a little bit last year. Not great. 8.88 save percentage, 3.5 goals against. Year before that, almost a 4 goals against. But again, you're playing a terrible team. Just an atrocious team. So where does he go? Where does he go?
No, don't even have a guess. Who? Most of the good teams have goalies.
Like, and Toronto's a weird situation where they just re-up Joseph Woll. So is that off the market now where they're not in the market for a goaltender? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, Tim. But nobody's clamoring. Nobody's lining up for a 30-year-old goaltender who's got a ton of wear on his tires. Like, he's played a lot of hockey. Oh, by the way, he's been playing down the last couple of years. And he makes a lot of money, 6.4.
Just on Toronto, Samsonov and Jones are not lucked up. They're both UFAs. So Wall's the only goalie they've got right now. And he's making 760 grand. So
no, he just resigned for $3 million 3 years. And that doesn't come into effect until next year.
Maybe it's not updated on Cap Friendly yet. Maybe they're not doing it anymore. I don't know. But it's not there.
Or maybe I'm wrong, which is a very real chance of that.
Another rumor here. The Blackhawks are reportedly getting a lot of calls on their number 2 pick, but they've told teams that they're keeping it. They want one of those guys. It's a pretty strong draft. They also have number 18.
Oh, I wanted that Ehlers pick or that Ehlers trade.
Yeah.
And McGrudy. I thought that was a nice trade for Chicago, but apparently Winnipeg soured on it. I think Chicago would have came out ahead on that trade. So, but that's unfortunate. Number 2 is a tough pick to trade. Especially for a rebuilding team, you kind of want to surround young players with young talent. You can't just keep trading your draft picks because other teams want them.
Do you think, so obviously Calabrini's going 1. Do you think Bedard is looking at this and he's got like, I hope we pick this guy or that guy? You know, yeah. Do you think he knows who he wants to play with next year?
Yeah, he wants to play with skill.
Right, but they're all skilled.
I just was talking with somebody about Chicago and Bedard and how really amazing it was that he had a good season with the players he played with. Tim, he played with waiver pickups, AHL players, and just garbage talent all around him. And he still put up over, 50-some points, 60 points?
60, I think, yeah.
That's incredible. When he was the sole guy the other team game planned against. So he's dying for first line. Like, he plays with Philip Kurashev. He's a sweet guy, but he's not a first line guy. He's a third liner on a lot of teams. So he's begging for talent. Begging. He's not going to get it. They're probably going to take a defenseman because their defense is...
There's a defenseman in the draft who's going projected in the top 5, and he's a 6'7 kid from Russia,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know which way to fall on that because I like tall guys, but we know what happens with Russians once they hit that sweet, sweet USA. They go anywhere. Their wires get crossed. They're good for a little bit. It's like you can't change a zebra's spots. There's just always going to be a zebra. And Russians, they're always going to be Russian. You know what I mean?
That is true.
Always.
Next one here. Pierre LeBrun believes that there's a team who jumped to the front of the line in the Nietzsche's chase. It may have a first-round pick on the table and a potential deal, which, again, would have to come in the next 24 hours, is the Buffalo Sabres. So I wonder if that's a destination for him. And remember, it's a trade. It's not a signing, although he'd have to lock up long-term. So
he is in Eric Talusky, the new GM of the Carolina Hurricanes. Netches is in his office begging him, don't do it. Don't you do it. Imagine like going from that environment to just like a Buffalo Sabres. And you can just tell the locker room is not where it should be. But hey, the Carolina Hurricanes fully control where he goes. He has no say at all where he's going. So he can be traded to any team in any minute.
But if he doesn't sign, if he's an RFA, how does that work? It goes past July 1st, right?
No arbitration, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But
then it's if it's player elected, I think they can only sign for 1 year. If it's team elected, they can do 2 years. So.
Yeah, there's no path to the open market for him.
No, there is not. Unless the team throws an offer sheet at him. So he is able to negotiate with other teams to sign an offer sheet. So there's still that potential. But yeah, Carolina's got a lot of work to do. They got Drury, Jarvis, they got him. They got Maxime Comtois, and they got Dylan Coughlin, whoever the hell that is. So that's three decent players there. They got to get locked up. Friend of the show, Seth Jarvis, is going to get a raise, Tim.
Yeah, it's a bump for him.
All right, Frank Saravalli reported that the Leafs will do everything in their power to trade Mitch Marner this summer.
Quote, unquote. Yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. There's a rumor that it was Utah, but the team not only denied it, but they were very upset about that rumor for some reason. They were pissed, which I don't really get, so we'll see.
Listen, I've been firmly on my stance with this. He will play for the Leafs next year, and he'll walk for nothing. That's my prediction. He has a full no-move clause. Full. He can say kick rocks to any trade whatsoever, but there are reports he does have four preferable teams that he wants to be traded to. Chicago, Nashville, Vegas, and Dallas. So there are some, you know, moves there in Dallas, just like you mentioned at the top of the show. They bought out Ryan Suter and Pavelski's gone, and they do have some money to play with, so he'd be fun in Dallas. Man, imagine him in Dallas. That'd be a fun team to watch. But listen, I'm sticking by my prediction. He will not go anywhere. I just feel like it's just perfect for Toronto to eat this one. It would be so good. And for a team to acquire him, Toronto is going to want everything for this guy. Like he's a legit superstar. So they're going to want a first rounder or prospects. They're going to want everything. And I don't think really the only team that can afford him is Nashville and Chicago. I don't think Dallas is giving up that much. And I don't think Vegas has anything left in the cupboard to give up. But you did hear what? That they were offering who?
It was Thompson and Shea Theodore was the rumor that I saw going around, which is a fair enough trade, I think. But we'll see.
It'll be exciting. But what do you think? Do you think he gets traded?
I do. Okay. I do. I think okay. He's played his last game in Toronto.
Okay. I don't. We'll see who wins. Okay, moving on. Quick hits, Tim.
The Hall of Fame class for 2024 was announced this week. We have Pavel Datsyuk, Jeremy Roenick, Shea Weber, the two women, Natalie Darwitz, Christy Wendell Pohl, and then the two builders, David Poile and Colin Campbell. Right away, let's just stick with the three NHL players. Datsyuk, Roenick,
Weber. Why? You don't like women?
Okay, we'll start with the three NHL players.
No, you should stick with them.
Stick up for the moment. What do you think about the three?
I think it's fine.
Roenick been on the ballot for a while, obviously, so big for him.
Is it just are the pickings getting slammed? That's why he got voted in this time? Because you feel like after all his controversies, that would have maybe hurt his voting, but now he's getting more.
Well, I don't know about Shea Weber. Like, obviously, incredible player, probably a Hall of Famer, but first ballot, you know, with yeah. All these names, like McGillney is now 0-15. Keith Kachuk isn't in
awful.
Yet.
Awful. He should be in there hands down. I don't know how that's even an option, but Shea Weber, you're right. I think he gets in because he's got a hard shot. Boom, Shea Weber. That's why he won the All-Star Game stuff all the time, the hardest shot. Because what do his stats look like? I doubt they're really stand out, but he was a hard playing defenseman, and I think he just did a lot of internationally, you know. So let's see, he's got 1,038 games, only 589 points. So it's not like he was, you know, setting the earth on fire for his goal or for his goal scoring. And then international, he didn't even play in the Olympics. He was in the world under 20.
He did.
Right? Am I seeing this wrong?
He did. He played in the Olympics in 2010.
I am seeing this
probably wrong. 2014 too.
All right. Well, whatever. Good for everybody. I think the only one who really, really merits this is Pavel Datsyuk. He's an incredible hockey player. So
amazing.
He deserves it. And then for the women, I'll be honest, Frank, I don't know who these people are. Do you know Natalie Darwitz and Christy Wendell Pulley?
I don't. No.
Okay. David Poile, GM Nashville Predators for a long time. Good for him. Colin Campbell. He reminds me of an older Liam O'Brien. That says enough.
I didn't know till recently that the Vancouver blames him for the losing to the Bruins in 2011 because his son was on the team and apparently a bunch of calls went their way. I don't remember it that way, but apparently he's an enemy in that city.
He's an enemy everywhere. He's a piece of garbage, that guy. And I usually don't say that often. I don't like him. He was a big part of the All-Star Game stuff. He said some things I didn't really care for. Yeah, if I saw him, I'd probably slap him in the mouth. Is that the most disrespectful thing to do to somebody if you're in an altercation? It has to be. Just to slap them. Open hand
slap.
Way
more disrespectful than a punch, for sure.
I've never done that, I don't think. Slap somebody. I'm sure I have around the way. Have you ever slapped anybody, Tim?
No.
Have you ever been slapped?
No.
Has a girl ever slapped you?
No, I'm a gentleman. Of course not.
I wish I could say the same.
Oh, God, you deserved it. I'm sure whatever you did, you deserved it.
No, I did, yeah. But I'm not going to get into it. We'll save it for Patreon. All right, so some injuries are starting to trickle out here from the finals, as they always do. Oh, this guy needs surgery, this and this and that. The Edmonton Oilers have released a Connor McDavid dealing with a very, very bad abdominal injury, maybe the oblique. They didn't say. He is going to be getting surgery on that. Leon Draisaitl, 3 assists in the Game 7 finals versus the Florida Panthers only. Well, he had a broken rib and a broken finger that he sustained Game 1 of the Canucks series, I want to say.
It was a hit from Tyler Myers. I don't remember which game it was.
Oh, that guy's such a bruiser. Anybody gets broken bones when they hit Tyler Myers. Okay, per Scotty Upshaw, who I've been trying to text and he won't respond because I'm trying to get a sponsor connection through him and he's just being a real jerk about it. Well, he has said that Ken Holland could be on his way to the Chicago Blackhawks, which actually is huge news because they have Kyle Davidson, who's doing a relatively good job there, and he's leaving the Edmonton Oilers that he just orchestrated to go to the Stanley Cup Finals, and within one goal of winning the Stanley Cup, he's leaving that team because he wants to go elsewhere for some odd reason. He's done all that he can do in Edmonton except win a cup. And he wants to go to the Chicago Blackhawks. He sees a young, up-and-coming team, and he sees an opportunity. Not a bad gig. Look at the size of that cup you're drinking from, Tim. Look at that thing.
It's like a smoothie bowl.
It's like a bathtub.
I drink a lot of water. I don't have to go up every 10 minutes with a regular cup, you know.
How often do you go to the restroom? Does it just hit you all at once?
Throughout the day, quite a bit.
Easy.
Very hydrated.
Too much. Sometimes it's too much. But what do you think of Ken Holland?
Yeah, it is big news. And he didn't say, the rumor Upshaw didn't say, like, as GM. So it's probably going to be like a president of operations or something above Davidson, where he can take part in the rebuild. I think he wants to be part of another rebuild. And for all the criticism for Holland, I think he's done a great job. And even, who was it, Jason Gregor had just interviewed him when we talked to him like 2 weeks ago. And he's basically like, you look at the team that Holland took over in, I want to say 2016, 2017, and just like the abomination of a roster that it was. And slowly building it back up into a team that lost by one goal in Game 7 is definitely an accomplishment. So if you're Chicago, that's something that maybe he can bring in the expertise and the know-how and the relationships with the teams and agents and players and all that to help do another rebuild, another dynasty.
He did put his stamp on this team. His major contract with the Oilers that he'll go down for knowing was the Darnell Nurse contract. So it was a really positive one, but he did bring in Zach Hyman and he did some good things, but yeah.
Was he Lucic's contract too, and Cassian and some of those?
He was
ones,
not or? Luch. He was, let's see, he's Tyson Berry, Cody Ceci, Zach Cassian. He signed, yep. Jesse Pulviari, 1 year, $3 million. So he had a lot of misses, but sometimes you gotta strike out before you get that home run. But yeah, he signed Mike Smith twice. I don't know why that's so funny. Ooh, twice. It'll be better this time, I promise. Oh goodness. Well, yes, good for him. Hopefully he has a good home in Chicago. And the draft, Tim, is tomorrow night. Very exciting.
Yeah, yeah, I'm pumped for that. We'll be watching, and I wish the Bruins had a higher pick, but it'll be big news for obviously the Sharks have. We know there's going number one, so the 2, 3, 4 picks I think will be really interesting because it's such a deep draft and there's no clear like second tier.
A lot of guys. Listen, you should be happy the Bruins even have a pick. They just got it. Traded Elias Homer.
I don't want it. Give me Chychrun instead.
Yeah, it's in the sphere. A big deal for the NHL going there. That's right. They're going to put on a big show. It's going to be what's his name? James Dolan from the Rangers owns the sphere. So it's going to be a big deal for the NHL. I'm going to watch it. Are you going to watch it, Tim?
I will be watching.
All right. If you're bored, you can jump over to Bleacher Report. That's where Tim and I will be doing a live hit on there. Right?
Live stream.
Live stream. Nation Network doesn't let us do that. I think Frank's doing one.
Frank is doing one.
So, I would check ours out first. And if you don't like it, swing on over to Frank. But I appreciate the support, everybody. All right. Anything else, Tim?
That's it. I'm sure more news is going to be break throughout the day. Oh, and
it's exciting.
We'll be watching that. And yeah, see you guys next week.
Yes, and happy Canada Day. That's on Monday. So have a good weekend, everybody. Be safe. We'll talk to you next week. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.